All right, we have a great episode of UFC Unfiltered coming up. We have Vitor Belfort on the phone. My pal Sully Erna from Godsmack is here. Matt's here. I'm here. Ooh, it's fun.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh, on the button.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again.
He's out.
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. Matt is doing calisthenics.
Oh,
stretching. That's okay. It's good to get it done.
Oh, I feel... Jimmy, I'm sorry. Jimmy.
I'm rubbing Matt's glutes.
Jimmy, Jimmy, look at this. And you asked before the show. Nothing besides just... it's
no
cramping.
Sock.
Feel that. No, I got a sock.
I don't
you can't
your
see
sock.
The sock. Look at my calf.
No, I don't want to touch
Could you look
sock.
At my calf?
I don't
want to
look at it.
Look at my calf.
I can't see it.
Look at my calf.
I have my glasses.
Look at my calf. Look at that thing.
Is that
look
what that is?
Veins.
I thought it was a ham
look
with skin on it.
It's not nice, Jimmy.
We have a good show. We have to get right into the phones. Vitor Belfort. We're talking to Vitor Belfort.
Don't say his name like that. That's weird.
That's how he likes to say it.
No, I don't think anybody ever said it like
this
that.
Vitor Belfort.
The Dana White guy.
Dana White and Vitor Belfort.
This is
Vitor Belfort.
This is Vitor's final fight.
Against Leona Machida, yeah. Wow. And we also have Sully Erna coming in from Godsmack. He's the lead singer. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I didn't know he was a big MMA fan. He's a really good dude, and I did not know he was a big MMA fan.
Sully?
Yes. Godsmack has their first album in a few years coming out. It's called When Legends Rise, and Sully can sing his fucking ass off.
Yeah, Godsmack.
Yeah, they're great.
You know how they got that
sold
name? I heard. Did you hear how they got that name?
From Jane's Addiction.
Really? I thought it was somebody had a herpes, and then his friend made fun of him and came back with a herpes. And goes, Godsmack you with a herpes. I swear to God.
Let's ask him that. You know what?
Is that the story?
That might be.
I'm bringing it up to Sully.
Okay.
Can I call him Sully? He's weird.
It's his name.
Is it Sully?
Yes.
I have a student, Sully. Not famous, though.
Tell him that. That's a good opening line.
Is that
I have a student named Sully, but he's not as famous as you. Oh, cool. That's fodder for chat.
Is that the worst opening line
Not at
ever?
All. That's great.
Who's he calling?
Vitor Belfort.
Oh!
Vitor Belfort.
Legends fight. This is like a legends fight.
It really is.
Should I say that to him, or is that going to make him feel old if I say it's a legend?
He is a
fight?
Legend. You think he doesn't know he's fucking fighting for 20 years? He fought.
Was that an itcher pick?
My nose itch.
Yes, an itcher pick.
If it was a pick, you'd see me chewing.
Oh, an itcher pick.
Fighting for 22 fucking years. What an amazing athlete.
This guy's in the UFC at 22 years old.
Dude, he beat, you're right.
Right?
You're right, younger than that. Yeah. He fought Anthony Johnson. He beat Rumble with a submission.
Yeah, Rumble is fighting at a lower weight.
Middleweight?
Still, yeah.
Still,
it
doesn't matter. He's still Rumble.
Rumble's
still, it's hard. But he's fought everybody.
When
you look at guys who have, he's fought Henderson twice. He's fought Alistair Overeem. He has fought Couture three times. He fought Chuck Liddell. Ah, here he is right
his
now.
His ears must be ringing.
Just talking about your Vitor. How are you, sir? Oh. Hello?
That's a perfect start.
Vitor.
The legend, Vitor Belfort. How are you, buddy?
Vitor Belfort. Be funny he answers to that.
Hey, lady.
You got to call him Vitor Belfort.
You got to hit him. He answers to that. All right. Once again,
yep.
Chris, the producer, drops the ball.
Yeah,
but, hey,
Chris doesn't like
Vitor.
They're
not going to always be out of the park. So what if he got the Paul Felder's nickname wrong? He's not the philosopher.
You know what? I got to the bottom of that.
This is breaking news.
Paul the hat salesman Felder?
Yeah.
Somebody sent me a message on Instagram. Brian Callen started calling him that because Paul Felder had like a philosophy background in college.
He called him that?
Yeah, he was like saying to call him. It was he was joking
it was a joke.
Around.
But how come Paul Felder didn't remember that joke?
I don't know.
It was a good joke.
Maybe he didn't have, maybe
Callen wasn't it. I don't know. So Brian Callen's the one who put that in your head.
Yeah.
All right, we'll blame Brian Callen for your fucking hijinks. Guy's not the philosopher. The guy had no fucking idea what he's talking about. He goes, I never heard that before in my life. It was so awkward for us on this side of the table.
It was humiliating.
It's easy for him to write that down on a fucking sheet and us say it. Is it true your nickname's the Barn Burner, huh? You're exciting. What? No, I never heard that shit before in my life.
Humiliating.
It is.
All right.
Hey, Vitor, what's up, buddy?
Vitor, when you beat Vitor Belfort back in the day, let me ask you, what, is he there?
Vitor? Is this Vitor Belfort?
The legend Vitor Belfort. Boo, Chris the producer.
So Chris says that people are, by the way, great appearance by Dana the other day. Really, really great to have him on. Now, people are saying, Chris said that people are actually liking our warm-up videos. We have to do more of them.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, the promo videos. Absolutely.
It might have been that. It might have been Jimmy's silly little banter that he does so well. Or...
What banter?
It might have been... Listen, somebody said they saw me flexing in the background. I go, listen, it's not a... No, well, first of all, that's unnecessary. Listen to me. I was flexing with my left arm. If it was my right arm, it would have been like fucking... I have no bicep on the right.
It's okay.
But I have glory. You understand?
Still strong.
I have glory.
You sure do.
I could have two biceps right now.
Nah, you don't need them.
I could, but then I wouldn't have my one submission. Well, I'm sorry. You have a question?
No, I was just going to say. So for people that you mentioned these videos.
He's freaking about. I was about to talk about my one submission win.
It's UFC.
Why don't you wait until I finish me talking about me submitting Kelly Delonte?
So wait.
Me submitting Kelly Delonte back in 1998. It was a long time ago.
The phone's ringing. Vitor Belfort.
So what were you going to say?
Yeah, what were you going to say?
UFC Unfiltered on Instagram. Follow us.
Oh, follow everybody.
Vitor Belfort.
Follow UFC.
Now, the UFC themselves will put out our videos, right?
Yeah, and they repost them. So you'll see it on the main UFC site,
that's
too.
That's what I like.
Yeah.
That's cool. So then we have to come up with really fun stuff to do.
Boy, Dana really lit a fire under somebody.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dana.
Dana likes to come on. You know what I noticed? Because some guys we can hang out with for a while and just bullshit. Dana likes to get right to the fucking nitty gritty. Just like rapid fire, almost like ding, 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 I'm out.
In fairness, though, I jumped right into it with him.
Yeah, I think we have to do that. I think that's how he likes
it. He's busy. He's the head of the UFC.
I got a memo. That's how he likes it. It's true. He loved it. He said, oh, wait, great the other day.
He's running the UFC. Vitor, hello.
He's on the line.
Hello, Vitor. How are you?
Sucks. Doing great.
Good. We finally got you on. We were just talking about what an amazing career you've had.
Does he know who he's talking to, Jimmy?
Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, you're right, Vitor. Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
What's up?
UFC Unfiltered.
What's up, Vitor? The legend.
What up?
Everybody's looking forward to this fight.
Oh,
we're doing great, man. We're so looking forward to your fight versus Lyoto Machida. I know a lot of times... Like the especially the old school Brazilian guys, they don't like to fight each other. But this is a fight that, you know, since you guys are both literally legends, this is a fight that everybody wants to see. How do you feel about fighting another icon in the sport, like Lyoto Machida?
First of all, I feel like it's a privilege. This is an epic fight that doesn't happen anymore.
Yes.
I think we got broke out, but I think this is an epic fight that has to happen. I think this is what the sport makes the sport what it is, you know, the epic fight, and this is one of them.
And what do you, like, this has got to be hard for you after 22 years of professional fights. What do you plan on doing after it? And why did you make this decision to end it here?
Why hard? Why you think it's hard?
Yeah, Jimmy.
It's great, yeah. You see, everything is type, what types of lands are you watching? You know, it's a privilege, you know, for being, that have that longevity that I have.
Sure.
And I think, you know, I love business and I'm an entrepreneur. And thank God that I made some good investments. And of course, we learn with the bad ones, and I'm looking forward to grow my fitness franchise, helping people. Getting a good condition and learning how to train properly and have fun. And I'm looking for a job. So if you have a job that pays well, you know, I'm in, you know. I'm looking for some opportunity. So I'm kind of New York. I kind of met the New York people. They work hard, you know. They don't care if it's winter or summer. And I'm kind of have that kind of mentality. And I think the knowledge, and I think I'm good to go. You know, I'm excited for the second journey of my life.
Now, Vita, you've been fighting pretty much half your life. Now, I know you. It's great. It's fantastic. You have these plans for this next chapter. You're looking forward to your next chapter. But let's say that, listen, anything can happen. You're fighting a very dangerous Lyoto Machida. But let's say you go out there and you do like your fight with Wanderlei Silva back in the day in UFC number whatever it was, 8. I don't know. It was a long time ago. But let's say you go out there and you finish this fight. You blast them. Is it easy to walk away? Or are you going to say, you know what? Maybe I got one more.
I'm very happy and content. You know, Matt, I think it's we're in a season, you know. To go to MMA, go to the Olympics, a lot of things have to happen. Actually, I have a question for you guys and for everyone that listens to us. Do you know who made the rules of MMA? do you guys know exactly what are the people that regulate MMA and make the rules and, you know, the number of rounds and everything? Do you guys know, by the way?
I was told it was Chip Chipperson, but I think I'm wrong. I don't know.
No, I believe... go ahead. We'll cut the... I think you know.
That's the thing, you know. I know because... So we're in a sense that our sport has to become a sport and less entertainment. WWE, you consider a sport or you consider entertainment? What's WWE stand for?
No, that's not no fucking sport.
It's not a sport. Yeah, it's an athletic form of entertainment.
It's an athletic soap opera.
Athletic form of entertainment. Yeah, soap opera. So what MMA stands for? Is a sport or is a sport entertaining? Example, I think we are entertainers. So example, people ask me, Victor, are you going to retire? I say, no. Because when you retire, you still get paid, am I right?
Well, I think they meant retire from fighting in a cage.
But he's saying you're not going to be getting a retirement.
It's not like you're sitting in a rocking chair, Vitor.
A basketball player, when retired, they still get paid.
Yeah.
A baseball player, they get. So I'm just trying to educate you guys that we are not a sport yet. Even though we are mainstream, we are the biggest sport in that world. But we want to attend an Olympics. We want to MMA become Olympic sport. So we need to. I think I can help with my knowledge and the things that I study along the ways. And I really believe that we need to become more sport. So example, regulation rules. You know, we need to stand up and create some formality that, okay, that's where we want to go. And I really believe, like NBA, for example, NBA is a sport, but also is entertaining. I like to attend NBA games with my family. And I do believe that a lot of families love to go to a UFC event with their family. But I think we have to work our way out. So I have so many things and so many ideas, so many things that I can still contribute to the sport. So example, Matt Serra. I have a question for you. If you have the Legend League, you come back and fight again? Maybe you and BJ Penn?
If you have what now?
The Legends League.
Man, I don't think... Unless BJ gets really chubby, I don't think... the Legends... Go ahead.
Forget about the weight. I'm just thinking the F Legend fight. For example, we can create so many stuff. Example, what about coaches versus coaches? You know, things that can be entertaining...
Coaches, what was that, Victor?
Coaches versus coaches.
What, fighting MMA?
Yeah, but of course we have
Victor. Victor, I think you're getting flashbacks of your time in Japan and Pride in those fucking freak shows. And you're fucking, what do you want to put? Ray Longo versus fucking Greg Jackson? Listen, I'm with you, Victor. Listen, I'll watch that medieval shit when they're fighting with the armor on and fucking Guam. I don't know what. But Victor, I'm telling Ray Longo to fucking pick up the training now.
I'll pay for you. You say it, man. Believe me, I want to see that. I'm just saying we can become entertainers, but also we need to become more sport. So that's my thing. Well, we have so many things to grow, you know, so many things to accomplish still.
I was with you with a couple of things. When you go in the Legends League, as long as the guys didn't take too much abuse and they're a little bit older and like they could still compete like Pat Miletich is and Royce Gracie's and guys like you. Go ahead.
But the idea, you come up with a rule, and that's the thing. When you create something that you have to create in a scenario, it's always like, say, that's what I come for.
Vitor.
The number one rule is health for the fighters.
Yeah.
What is good? You know, what's good for the fighters? So we need to accomplish some stuff has to change.
Yeah.
Just to move to the next chapter. You know, that's it.
Vitor, in that Legends League, are we allowed to wear our shirts? I don't want to be wearing my shorts and take my shirt off, but I can still fuck some people up.
And Matt, I have some good fights for you, and you can make some big cash.
Oh, Victor, we might have to talk off air. I got three kids, Victor. I might have to jump. I might have to start. I'm already rolling. I just got to lay off the pizza and maybe get off that whole TRT thing.
I'm telling you, I will pay to see BJ again, for sure.
Me and BJ Penn?
And I'll pay.
I'll be a hunter.
I don't want to. Not that he's an easy target because he could punch me back. But maybe I'm just becoming too loving in my old age. I don't want to punch BJ. Yeah. I love BJ.
I want to see Matt against Francis Ngannou.
Fuck. Vito loves that. Vito knows we're around the same weight. Oh, man.
He's not your friend. He's not a friend.
Yeah. I think my competition days, I mean, I'm still, listen, I rolled this morning. Vito, you can relate. I fucking love my jiu-jitsu. I did a nice roll. I rolled with the gi on for a nice hour. But as far as fighting, I think my best days, I'll watch that UFC Fight Pass. If I'm having a bad day, I'll watch Trigg and GSP and Delonte on the same day.
Matt, when you start talking numbers and then things change, man.
Yeah.
You start getting cut. We can do a whole reality show and you losing weight.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we can fight Oprah Winfrey, you know, whatever it is. She had the thing. She just bought a big thing with weight loss, whatever.
Oh, that's so great.
Can imagine, you can make big cash. Who doesn't want to relate it to you, man? You're the warmest, nicest, and bright guy. You're smart.
Thank you so much. Keep going.
I can be your promoter and your manager.
I'll tell you right now, Vito might be talking me back into fighting. Nah, it's not happening. But listen. Vitor.
I can be Dana White for the Legends. I'll be the promoter. Let me be the promoter.
The promoter for the Legends League. And you would do it. And Vitor, you were doing so great with all your points. And I'm like, and it was almost like that scene like out of I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, where I'm starting to get motivated. I'm like, yes, after every point, yes, yes. You said coaches. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know. Fucking what?
Well, I don't know.
I have example. Sihas will fight, what's his name? The Conor McGregor coach.
Oh, you know? Kavanaugh. This is great.
You can put me in there
versus some coaches. I'm a coach too. Can I fucking smack around? I'm only kidding. How about Ray Longo versus Javier Mendez, right?
Yeah, what about managers versus manager? We can do manager, you know,
Ed Soares versus Ali. Yes, Vitor! We're making this happen. We're going to make some fucking money. I don't know.
This can be mainstream, man. They could be the WWE of MMA.
Yeah.
How about referees too? You have Big John fight Keith Peterson.
That would be great. I think we should, man. Come on, Big John versus Big Dan.
Let's convince
Dana White that we can create that scenario.
We can create rules.
Safe rules.
All right, listen.
If you have a lot of concussions, you cannot go in. So we can create a bunch of stuff.
We have your whole retired life to go with that. But back to your fight. Have you been sparring with a lot of karate guys? I mean, Machida's got such a different look.
Yeah. I've done a lot of karate in Montreal. I had a lot of karate. I had Joey helping a lot, a point fighter karate, and You have to work, you know, because he's very awkward, you know, he's a different type of fighter. So I'm excited, man. I'm very excited to go there and just leave it all in the octagon and just have fun.
Well, Vitor, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on you have fought Gastelum and he's fighting Jacare. What are your thoughts on that co-main?
Oh, I think if the fight's standing, I think it's more to Gastelum. If the fight's on the door on the ground, I think Jacare has a very leverage on the ground. So it's a very tough fight as well.
And, look, man, we're sorry to see you go. Machida's a great fight, though. That's a matchup that a lot of people want to see. And he says...
It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. He's saying that if he beats you, he's actually looking, because of the injuries in the division, he's actually looking toward this pushing him into title contention in his next couple of fights. So this is an important fight for him as well. But, you know, hey, look, man...
I'm still very relevant.
Of course.
That's good.
Yeah. You are you're a legend and 22 years of fights. So listen, man, good luck in this fight. I hope you do well.
Appreciate the love and God bless you guys. You know, thank you for having me on the show and we had some fun and I'm looking forward to a great week and a great performance.
Thank you very much. Thank you for all the great fights. We appreciate it, Vitor.
The legend, Vitor Belfort.
The legend league. Come on, the legend league.
We're gonna talk more about that, buddy. Have a great fight, Vitor. All my best, man.
Thank you.
All right. See you later, buddy.
Take care, Vitor. That was fun.
We have a bit of a bad connection, but it was still fun. Let's bring in Sully.
That was so much fun.
The, honest, I mean, I maybe took a little too far with the referee thing, but the Legends League isn't the worst idea.
No, the referee thing. Well, no, the coaches.
The coaches, I mean.
But it was funny. No, you're doing great.
It's hilarious, yeah.
I'm like, yes, well.
You didn't like the coaching.
Well, I mean, that's fucking hysterical. But I put Ray Longo in that cage. Ray Longo, come on. I was digging that thing. That was hysterical. Let's go. Let's meet. I got to meet Sully.
You met him. I know him well. Yeah, he's a good guy.
You're
a
fucking fancy guy.
I'm just a fancy man.
I'm just your friend.
Support for UFC Unfiltered comes from our good friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. They understand that home plays a big role in your life and family. Obviously, that's why they created Rocket Mortgage. Rocket Mortgage gives you the confidence you need when it comes to buying a home or refinancing your existing home loan. And it's such an intimidating process for all of us. Look, this is really simple. Allowing you to fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence to make an informed decision. It's convenient. Our trusted partners allow you to share your financial information with Rocket Mortgage at the touch of a button. And in addition to getting a real mortgage approval in minutes, you can even adjust the rate and length of your loan in real time to make sure you're getting the right solution for you. Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/unfiltered. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS. ConsumerAccess.org. Number 3030.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trail Blazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph. And a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details. Hey, buddy.
What's up, man? Come on. Nice to meet you, dude. Oh, you got your own paparazzi, I see. Yes, nice. We're just doing a video blog, Sully?
A second degree black belt with me, too, in the other room.
Do you really? Is that
guys get out of line.
Oh, shit. Where does he train?
He doesn't train anymore.
Get close to that, Sully.
He eats a lot of donuts.
Oh, right. Well, then I like him. Now he has a lot in common with me. I'm a fourth degree, but who's counting?
Is he karate or jiu-jitsu?
Sorry?
Was he karate or jiu-jitsu?
Ninjutsu. He did a few different things. He's been around for a while. He's been a friend of ours for a long time. He's our director of security now. And,
holy fuck. Sully, you brought a fucking ninja with you? Coming. This is, nobody's drawing swords here. We're all friends. He brought a black belt ninja with him in the next room.
In case there's a problem.
Do me a favor. Don't get up. Just tell him to throw a smoke bomb and get the fuck in here. If we get out of line, we can hear a and get a fucking dart in our neck. I'm only kidding, Sully.
So you like MMA?
Yeah.
Do you
I've been
train?
A fan for a while. You know, I do, but not for competition, obviously. I'm 50 and I'm small.
That's all right.
But Jimmy's I love the workouts. I always have. I've been boxing for 15 years.
Nice.
With Jeff, I get to do a lot more kicking and things like that. And so,
then Jeff, you're a security guy.
I like the workout. You know what I mean? I like things that are challenging.
Yeah,
and it's obviously some of the best workouts in the world.
Have you ever messed around with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu at all?
I haven't.
No, I've been, it's made for.
I know. I've been dying to do it. I just never seem to get in with the right because it's such a political thing, man.
What?
You can't fucking play
with your smoke bombs and work with some jiu-jitsu again.
The Gracies.
What you said, ninjutsu?
And Phoenix. They're so clicky.
Phoenix? Oh, in Phoenix, you're saying?
Well, there's another one called Phoenix, I think it's called.
Phoenix? Phoenix?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Everybody has their own thing.
It's very political.
It's political.
Well, listen. No, I don't deal with that political shit, but I'll teach you some arm locks.
Yeah.
Are you ever in New York, man? Like, often or no?
Not often.
You're a Boston guy.
Yeah, I'm a Boston.
You're a Boston guy. Well, your tattoo is gone. I'm looking at you like, when did you get it? It's been gone.
I forget that you took that off.
I've
seen you like seven times.
I know,
since
but
it's
I forget.
What tattoo are you talking about?
It was a star.
Oh.
They did a good job taking that off.
What's the matter? Get excited for your star? You're fucking those? He's coming back swinging. Tell me about that star. Why'd you get rid of it?
I don't know. I just. You know, I guess I grew up.
Did you really?
Too many people were starting to put them on their face, so I took mine off.
What happens in another 10 years when you get a little bit older? What's going next?
Yeah,
these
aren't going anywhere. Although I did have one coming off there, you can see.
What was that on the arm?
I don't know, some skull with a top hat and a mogul.
You got rid of that. That might have been the first one you got.
One of them. Right? What is the process of having a tattoo removed?
Oh my God. Pain,
it hurts, right?
Pain.
Yeah.
Pain.
What do they do? They laser.
I'd rather be kicked in the face by him nine times than get that. That's brutal.
Oh man!
The way I describe it is imagine the world's largest elastic band snapping you in the ribs at 1,000 beats a second.
And that's how they. But it hurts more going off than it does going on.
Oh my God! Not even a comparison.
Jimmy, you don't have any tattoos.
I don't. I'm too indecisive to get a tattoo. Like I can't. Nothing sticks with me mentally.
Yeah.
So I would love it now, and then I would hate it in 2 weeks. So I just never did it. Yeah. I almost got Ozzy on my knuckles when I was 15.
Wow.
I'm fucking Ozzy. I love Ozzy.
You'd still like that'd be okay.
That one's one I'd still feel is kind of relevant and cool. But then I would have met him and felt embarrassed. You know,
exactly.
But you really did that because people were starting to do it. I'm sure people have gotten Ozzy on their knuckles, and people just emulate. Famous people's
That's
tattoos.
Weird if they get Ozzy on their knuckles, though.
I know.
Yeah. You do Ozzy can have Ozzy on his knuckles.
It makes sense. Yeah. It matches up. But if I'm Jim and I have Ozzy, I think a douchebag.
Like if I put tattoo Jim under my eye, you know.
That would be awesome.
You can't, well, nobody can see it. Like your penis.
You're right. Nobody would see it.
Exactly.
And if they did see it, they'd be getting paid. They wouldn't say anything.
You've been watching for a long time, the fights, or you just got into it?
I've always been a fan. You know, I mean, I don't watch it as religiously. My guitar player does. He really follows every fighter. He knows their weights. You know, he's like really into it. I just enjoy it because I've always been a fan of the fighting sports.
Yeah.
You know? So
I would love for you to get a jiu-jitsu lesson because it's so much made. You said you're a smaller guy. It's really made for
it's
that.
It's just time for me, man. Yeah. I want to do it so bad because I really love the art of it. I love the workouts and I want to learn more about the ground game. You know what I mean?
Especially if you got hands.
Just to have, you know, as knowledge and to be able to just sweat and get on the mat. And,
of course.
You know, that kind of thing. So it would be great, but it's always just time. I feel like I get in with the right people sometimes, and then I'm on tour and I can never get into a rhythm with it. So I don't feel like I get it. I learn enough.
So you would do it for a month or two if you did it, and then you'd have to go out on the road again.
Yeah.
And you'd have to go in the studio.
Yeah.
Again.
And then I'm gone for 18 months. You know what I mean? And by I come back, it's a new instructor or the you know,
well, you've forgotten everything.
The group that I enjoyed hanging with is gone or whatever. Yeah.
Do you go out for 18 months?
Wow. The cycle is usually 18 months.
Dude, I go out for fucking, I mean, stand up is obviously a different thing. I go out, I do a weekend and then come back and do radio and go out and do a weekend. I can't picture being gone for a month or 2 months at a time.
You have a family, Sully?
Oh, a month or two. That would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. That's for you guys. It's short.
Married?
I wish it was a month or two. No. I have one child, yeah.
Okay. Is that rough being on the road that long?
And yeah.
And possibly not seeing?
Yeah. Relationships and touring just don't ever work well together.
Right. Shoot.
Well, it's hard. Obviously, there's temptation. I mean, if there's temptation for a stand-up.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about with your kids, man. I got three kids. I can't picture being away. I go away a week, but I'm a big pussy. I'll start getting teary, Jimmy.
Yeah, I know. He's very emotional about
his kids. True.
Jimmy, don't let the calves and the biceps and the Camorras fool you. I am a big mush. Fucking gum side. Go ahead, Sully.
That's true. That'll do it. Especially, you know, a dad and his little girl. I mean, now you blink your eyes, my daughter's going to be 17 soon.
It does go fucking fast.
Does she think you're cool?
She does think I'm pretty cool.
That's good.
She's in that hormonal mess right now.
Yeah.
But we have a great relationship. And her and her mom are brawling huge right now.
Yeah. You know?
So I'm kind of still the go-to.
Cool you're the good. You're guy. Still the good guy. Yeah. And yeah, she'll go talk to you like, mom's being an asshole. Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you.
I can't believe I'm more comfortable talking to you than mom.
Do you fly her to gigs
and smoking weed? I'm like, stop.
Yeah, you don't want to hear it, right?
It gets, yeah, it's weird, man. No matter who you are, my oldest sometimes now, like, yeah, I could embarrass her. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm a former cage fighter. How could I be not cool? But to your kid,
no.
You're still your embarrassing dad sometimes. Oh, you know? You do so silly true. Shit. You
totally,
know?
Yeah.
Does she bring her friends to see you live?
She's going to be. I mean, obviously, she is just getting to that. You know, she's in the high school years now. And so I'm cool when the boy that she likes thinks I'm awesome.
Yeah. Right.
But if they're going to, like, you know, Migos or something like that, then, like, come on, Dad, you're embarrassing me. I need to go with, you know, my friends.
Yeah, because it is weird. There's a younger generation. Most will know who you are, but some, it's just, I was talking to somebody, they didn't know who Richard Pryor was. And I'm like, wow, how do you not know? You know, it's like, it's not important. It makes you feel unimportant as you get older. No. Like, fuck, the things I meant so much to me are not.
Stop dating 20 year olds, Jimmy.
Well, that could be a problem. Too, yeah. That's,
I got to tell you, I've run into the same problem. Where you're just like, yeah, you know, I'm just, you know, you're playing whatever, and they're like, who is that? I'm like, oh, you know, it sticks. And they're like, what is that?
Yeah, they're like, that's a girl I can sleep with.
Is it weird? Is it strange with that much of a, you know, I'm a married dude for a while. Is it strange when a girl's that much younger than you? And you
mean, depends
how,
on
what are you really.
No, because I've met 35, 40 year olds who are flakes too. Like, you realize that too when you're. I'm 49, right? And all of a sudden people are like, oh, you should date age appropriate. I've gone out with 35 year olds who are psychopaths.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it means nothing. I've gone out with 25 year olds who actually made sense and had smart input. Means nothing. Means
really?
Nothing.
But you.
No, because I've dated crazy.
25 year olds that made sense?
I could be exaggerating, but I could just be trying to justify my
I know
shit.
There's some 35 and 40 year olds out there. They get real clingy real quick because I think, you know, that the
clock is ticking. They want a baby.
Oh, if they want a kid.
Especially if
they,
man.
Especially if you're in Godsmack.
They go real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They start looking for where is this going? And what is this? They want to define it. And it's like, we've been out for fucking, it's a month. Relax.
It's got to be different when you're out there dating with, like, you guys, because, like, you don't, 50, 49, you don't look like your typical, because of what you do, or even what we do. I don't, I look around like 43 year olds. I don't fucking read. There's some dudes in my class. I'm like, dude, that dude's the same age as me. How the fuck?
Right.
I'm like, I feel like he's an older dude. I feel like saying, hey, sir. You know what I mean? Because what are, you know, rock star, world famous comedian.
Well.
You know, just
known in certain markets.
It keeps you just in a younger state of mind.
I don't
mind,
ever hear
it?
About him in Finland.
No, he won't.
It'd be weird just dating a regular, like, soccer mom type thing.
You just, it's a, almost an immature lifestyle. Like, it's a hard job.
It is.
But it's like, you're having, like, when you ever look at what you do for a living. And last time I saw Sully, I saw you guys at Rock on the Range in Ohio.
That's
it's
coming up. Next week.
Are you doing it again next week?
Yeah.
Oh, I was on, you actually let me stand on the stage.
Where
and to
is
watch
that?
From your point of view.
Ohio.
It's in Ohio. It's a great rock festival.
Yeah.
Fucking, you're amazing. I mean, amazing live. Thanks. But when you live that lifestyle, it's not like going to the same job every day. It's like, it's easy to be kind of, it's a fun life. You don't grow the same way people who live traditional lives grow up. You just don't.
Traditional 9-to-5 people?
Yeah, man. Because you know when you're supposed to retire. I'm 48, 2 more years.
Yeah.
When you're doing music, you guys just put out, and what's it called? The Rise of Legends? Legends Rise?
When Legends Rise,
it just came out. Your first studio album in 4 years. It's like, you're never going to stop putting out albums. You're not retiring when you're fucking 55 or 60. You'll put out albums for as long as you want.
We'll see. Well, I don't know.
Have you thought of it?
I have. But I don't know. I mean, right now we're in a good place. You know, the band's healthy, personally, collectively. You know, we're in a good space. We have a lot of energy. We're ready to work again. Something shifted. You know, we get over those humps, those bad moments, those challenges that normally break bands up because of egos and pride and hangovers and drugs and alcohol and whatever else gets in your way. But we got past all that stuff and now we're in a good place again. And it's like, we're ready to work. And thank God we still have a brand that people care about. You know?
What was the hardest period? Like, after a while, when you're in a band, you said you go through that. Was there a period like 10 years in or 15 years in where it was like, fuck, man, we can't stop fighting? And then you all kind of grow up at the same point and you're like, no more fighting.
It's an evolution. It's a marriage, you know, it really is. I mean, as weird as it sounds, I'm married to three other guys and that's how it is, you know, and we go through the same problems, the same fights, you know, but it's been a while. And so, you know, I think when the band, by the second record, when it was really starting to expand and explode and the touring became so demanding, that's when the problems came, because when you're doing 7 shows in a row, 1 day off, 9 shows in a row, 1 day off, 11 shows in a row, 1 day off, 3 years later, 4 years later, you're just like a machine and you have to mask the fatigue and the pain with alcohol or whatever to get, because you got to remember too, there's those people coming out, that's their one night that year or that month that they're going to go out and party and have a good time, and you're there to show them a good time. You're the entertainer, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, and you can relate to this because you do. And I think it's funny, we just had this conversation the other day, that I think comedians even have it tougher than actors or musicians, because we're known for them to be super funny, right? They make us laugh. They give us that euphoric kind of thing. And then, you know, they're exhausted, or you guys are working a lot or whatever. And sometimes you meet, you know, a really, one of your favorite comedians, and they're off, or they're just, you know, not feeling well or whatever. And it really bums you out even more, because you know them from making you laugh.
Oh, you mean like on the street?
Yes.
Yeah. Like you bump into him or whatever.
Yeah. Like I'm so afraid to meet like Will Ferrell or something like that, because I love the guy.
He's a dick. No, I'm kidding. He's a good guy. He's a good dick.
I say the same thing.
And I don't like getting disappointed in that way, but I understand the lifestyle. And I know that like it's hit or miss. You know, you could catch them in a great day or not so, or an off day.
But the advantage to being a comic though, one advantage though, is that for a comedian, the looks aren't as big a deal and your voice doesn't have to hold up. Singers have it fucking brutal, because if your voice is off, you can't sing. And for actors, as soon as they look a certain way, it's hard to do those roles. Like, you know, I mean, every part of it has an advantage to it, I guess.
It's different what he's talking about. He's talking about meeting on the street. You know, like somebody's almost like, make me laugh, monkey boy.
Yeah, and I'm right? Always happy to snap to it. I'll just snap right in to my jokes. Have you met anyone who's... I haven't met many disappointments. Honestly, most of the people I've loved have been great when I met them.
Yeah.
Yeah, hasn't been that bad. Have you had any bad ones?
I had a couple bad ones.
What was bad about them?
Just ego. A lot of ego.
Did they know who you were?
A lot of selfishness. Oh, yeah, they definitely knew who I was. I almost whooped one of their asses, as a matter of fact.
Which one?
I'm not going to say.
What? Okay,
because I don't want to open up that can of worms again.
Okay. I understand.
It's gone. It's history.
You got enough friends, Sully. But, you know, you can use some enemies. It's good for an album.
It's not about that anyways.
All right, you're right.
It's the point that, you know, you grow up sometimes idolizing or really, you know, inspired by someone or whatever, and then you meet them and they're just total dicks.
It wasn't Ozzy.
No.
Oh, good. All right. That's all. This just breaks my heart.
No. And I see it's funny. The iconic ones are the coolest ones. You know, when you meet the Joe Perrys and the James Hetfields and the Al Pacinos and the people that are at those
Dean
levels,
Thomases.
They never disappoint. You know, I think there's nothing threatening them. They're veterans at this. It's that mid-level.
The ones who are not 100% sure of their spot.
The demanding respect rather than earning it.
They're thinking who they are. You should know who they are, type of shit.
I hate that.
Ozzy doesn't need to prove anything. Those, you know, Robert Plant doesn't need to prove anything when he walks into the room. Yeah. I see your AC/DC tattoo. And, you know, Brian Johnson from AC/DC, a lot of people, I mean, the band kind of fell apart because there was a death. And I think one of the guys had dementia.
What?
Yeah. One of the brothers, they're older. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're in the 60s. But Brian left and they said it was
Malcolm.
Did he pass away? Yes. He did die, yeah. Brian Johnson left the band and they used Axl. And I thought Axl did a very good job considering the shoes he had to fill.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Not a fan of Axl?
Not a fan of Axl. And I just never liked his voice. But it's just a preference thing. It's not that he's not a good singer. It's just not my style, you know.
It's not what you...
A bit too shrieky for me.
Okay. Did you think he did a good job in AC/DC, or would you prefer to see an...
I never heard him in AC/DC, so I can't make that judgment.
That's a tough gig to fill, though.
Yeah.
Would you have taken that?
No way.
You wouldn't?
No way. I mean, I would have been flattered to know that they would want me to, but first of all, I can't sing in that range... You know,
do you,
unless you get one of those ball sacks that you,
you squeeze
like
your bag.
You know when they let the bull out and they pull the rope and
they tighten his ball. I know.
That's what I would need to even get halfway to where I would need to be with him.
Is that what they do? They tighten his bag, his balls. Oh, being a bull sucks. Like you get a big dick and you're a great fuck, but they get you for it at the end. You know, that's an awful way to go out. Have you ever jammed on stage with somebody? Like I was looking at Mick Jagger's profile recently, and there's pictures of him and different people. Like he just loves to have Lady Gaga. He just likes to sing with other people. Do you ever bring it? Like Ozzy's never brought another singer on stage. Do you do that or no?
I have no problem with it actually, but I've sang with many other bands that, you know, I love Foo Fighters, Metallica, actually Black Sabbath. I got to do Heaven and Hell with Black Sabbath because they don't do that stuff. And when we toured with Sabbath, it was with Ozzy. This was back in 2000, I think it was.
That's when Bill Ward was on the tour.
Yeah, Geezer, all of them. It was all original. But they sound check, and Ozzy never sound checks, and he will not do anything Ronnie James Dio. So one day I got the knock on the door, and it was Tony Iommi's guy, and he's like, "Hey, Ozzy wants to come. I mean, Tony wants to come up on stage and sing Heaven and Hell." I'm like,
"How was it?"
I'm trying to remember the words real quick as I'm walking to the
stage.
That's
amazing.
It was awesome. Yeah, it was so good.
Yeah, for sound check, Ozzy would just do Iron Man, just because he didn't want to blow his voice out before.
Yeah, I never seen him do a sound check. We toured with him for a year. I never seen him once do a sound check.
Oh, I saw. You know what it is? There, I saw him do it recently. But I guess that they're selling these big. They're touring with Tommy Clefidos on drums. They're doing these meet and greet packages, and part of the package, they have different tiers of the package. One of them is, hey, come watch the sound check. So Geezer, Tony, and they go come out and do Symptoms of the Universe and a bunch. Then Ozzy comes out and sings Iron Man. So I guess that he's doing that extra song for the package.
Yeah,
to make it a, you know.
Tony said he always wants to do it. He's like, it's some of his favorite stuff. For me too, it's some of my favorite stuff. Even though I love Ozzy,
sure,
I love Mob Rules and I love Heaven and Hell.
Yeah, Neon Knights. Yeah, yeah,
so good, man.
But they did get another tour. I mean, they did. I was at that Radio City taping where they did Heaven and Hell did it, and they did the live DVD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it was great to see. Yeah. I love Ronnie.
Now, with different crowds, is it different energies? Like, in a sense, like, I ask Jimmy this a lot, because when he's going on his tours or when he does his gigs, is the thrill still there? Because you tell me, you were just saying how many shows you do. When you're up there, how do you keep that passion? You understand?
It's funny. You know, listen, with you, it's the fight game, you know, and for... people who write books or paint pictures or whatever, everybody has like a certain thing they really love to do and they would do it for free.
Yes.
You know, regardless. For you, you know, who knows? I mean, maybe you would like really enjoy teaching young kids and seeing them develop and seeing that gift come out of them, right? For me, it's music and it's just something that's in your blood. And when you're a musician, it's really hard to describe because... It's music is an energy. It's not something you can just really, you can teach someone the theory of music, that kind of thing, but you can't really teach that gift unless you just have it, you know? And I've seen some people have it that, you know, young kids sitting at a piano, just watching them figure out things and you can see where they're going and you're like, oh my God, they really have a knack for this. Like, not everyone can be a heart surgeon. Not everyone can be, you know, a musician. It's like, it's just one of those things that, for me, you know, I've done it since I was 3 years old and I really love what I do. So it's not a job for me to get up on stage and throw a big party and play songs and watch people sing along and, you know, mess with the audience. It's fun. It's how it's supposed to be. That's why we get into it in the first place. That's why we were jamming in our garages for 10 hours a day, drinking beers and having chicks over, whatever, because we love to play music.
Do you ever get to a point where the groupies get old? Does it ever get to a point where you're like, ah, I'm kind of done with that? Or does it never get
bored? I'm already past that.
You are?
Yeah, they annoy me so bad.
Really?
Yeah, I don't really do that. I haven't done that thing in a while. Paris has been with us for a while. She's been with us 7 years. She doesn't see me with many girls. I mean, I have a lot of friends and people that come and hang out or whatever, but the one thing I cannot stand now is really obnoxious drunk people.
Yeah.
It makes me cringe.
Yeah, and a lot of times they come back and, oh my God! And they're like, you're like, oh, she's going to puke on my... I don't need this shit.
They get too close. Their breath smells.
Like, yeah. They're just annoying. So annoying. I was never like that.
No, of course not. But they were. But do you still
No? I was really a fun drunk. I drink a little bit, but I don't, you know, I'm not sober, but I don't like get smashed like I used to.
You're more of a weed man?
Bottles of whiskey. No. No. Yeah, no weed.
Devil's lettuce?
No, I like wine.
Wine?
Yeah. My guitar player loves the weed, but I just drink wine.
Plus, the problem now in today's world, like with groupies and stuff, everyone is so focused on like Me Too. It's almost like you're asking for trouble. Like if you have people back and they're drunk, then they're gonna go, I didn't know what I was doing. I was drunk. And it was
scary.
Like, you know. And then the argument is, well, what the fuck do you think? You're going to a rock show. You're going backstage. Of course.
It's brutal.
But you're better off not even.
Those
being
are the scariest ones, man. I mean, they can destroy your life. You know,
it's crazy.
On
man.
An accusation, you could be in prison, and it's like, and then you get.
Oof. And as a musician, like half the time, the way you guys tour, you won't even remember it. But like, yeah, man, in this city, there's fucking 10 people there, and it's like you don't even.
That's why you videotape everything now.
You do, right?
You're like, you like it. You like it? Yeah. Uh-huh. Say you like it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Say it into the camera.
I've done that before, but they won't say they like it. They'll say it's okay, and my dick is still in their mouth. It's like
trying to remember the safe word is what they're doing.
Could you act like you're choking? Yeah, that is the scary part. You got a videotape, or you have everybody leave their phones too, because now there's that whole thing where, again, back in the 90s, it didn't matter, but now everyone's got a cell phone. Mm-hmm. They're taping these little moments at a contest. You're having a conversation with somebody. They catch you saying something you shouldn't say. It's not as fun as it used to be.
Yeah, man.
Not as fun.
No.
Now, as far as fighters, nobody in the room included, who is your favorite? He doesn't know if I fought before.
He knows, yeah.
Who is one of your favorite fighters, or some of the fights that stand anything
currently or in the past?
Oh, see, that's either a guy or. Who knows. See, that's confident. That's a confident answer. He knows the fighters.
Either
some guys come in and go, "Oh, I love it when they do the judo thing."
Well,
they don't know.
I'll tell you this. You know how my UFC experience started? We were touring in Japan, and I actually hung out with Don Fry.
I love Don Fry. He doesn't like
Ken
Jimmy too
Shamrock
much. Ken Shamrock. Cool.
They wouldn't even let them in the restaurant at the same time. They happened to be staying at the same hotel. And Don came in with his entourage, and they had dinner. And as they were going out, they had the Shamrock party coming in. And that whole thing was happening in Pride.
Oh, they had a nice fight.
And it was awesome. And so, and that we actually, Don Fry came out with us, went to some strip club in
Tokyo
somewhere. And I actually reconnected with him recently because I did a movie with David LaBrava and some of the cast from Sons of Anarchy.
I didn't know you do movies.
And Don Fry was in it, you know.
Yeah? You messing around with the acting?
Yeah. I've been doing it for a little bit now.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's fun, right?
Yeah, I love it.
You get nervous?
Yeah, no, a little bit. I don't know. I like it, man. We actually, the last Godsmack video we just put out is called Bulletproof. If you get a chance, watch it. It's like a 10-minute short film.
Oh, yeah?
And it's just comic gold.
Bulletproof? I'm going to watch
that. It's a funny video. I did this character from Sicily, and you check it out. It's called Bulletproof.
It's one of those conceptual things, almost like they did for California
Puff Daddy?
Love. Yeah, they do conceptual.
Yeah, back in the day. But anyway, so that's how it started for me, was like seeing that. I remember eating, and then all of a sudden, you know, I'm watching, like, I mean, there was just tens and twenties of fighters coming in. They're all, you know, their nose are bent, looking, hockey teeth.
They don't all look like this.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you're a pretty one.
That'd be called pretty.
And I just remember looking at my guitar player. I'm like, do you know what's around us right now? I'm like, if a fight breaks out, just don't even, just go under the table and stay there until the storm has passed. But, so, you know, I've been following it ever since, you know, way back then. Of course, you know, Anderson Silva was one of my favorites. I really was so destroyed when he lost because I'd never seen it coming. And up until that point, it was almost like the Mike Tyson syndrome for me, where I thought he was Superman and just going to be around for so long.
He lost to another superpower, though, in Chris Weidman.
I don't really think that dude is all that.
Really? Oh, Let's talk about that. Why, though? Why don't you think he's too much?
I don't know, man. I just never seen, like, an amazing fight with him.
Really? Then you must have not have seen a lot of his fights. No offense, Sully. Have you ever seen him? Have you ever seen his? Well, first before he beat the Belfort.
I will.
Have you ever seen his fight versus Lyoto Machida?
No. And this is what I was going
to
say.
Watch that
in your defense, I will say that I haven't seen a lot of his fights, but the fights that I have seen, it just didn't seem super impressive.
Do you know
to
any
me.
Of his fights?
Like, there's some fights that you just go like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Is part of it that you liked Anderson so much?
Maybe.
That when you like someone so
much.
Oh,
you're asking me.
No.
You're looking at me.
Is part of it that when you liked Anderson so much and when someone beat him, you're like, ugh. Fuck.
Yeah. I just never seen it coming. I really thought in that specific fight, the first one.
Yes.
When he took the shot to the chin, right? And he was being a dude.
Being silly.
Yeah, he was being stupid.
Yeah.
I really thought after he was kind of picking him apart before that. Anderson was picking apart
Chris.
Weidman, yeah. And, you know, he kind of knocked him down pretty easy a couple of times.
Who did?
Anderson.
Knocked Chris down a little easy?
You didn't see it?
Hold on 1 second.
Yeah, put it up. He goes down.
No, wait, hold on. He knocked him down?
He does. Yeah.
I never knocked him down.
Yeah, he did. Look at the...
Want to go to the tape?
I would like
Let's
to see
go to the tape
it.
Where Anderson Silva knocked down Chris Weidman.
Because don't you remember he helped him back up? And he was, and then he was just like, come on. Like,
no, the end of the round,
fight.
The end of
fight.
The round, he was looking for a leg lock, Chris Weidman. Never once did he knock him down. Chris actually was...
I remember it differently then.
Yeah.
But I... Because I remember him helping him up, and let's give them a show.
Not only, I mean, Chris.
And then he started sticking his neck out and doing stupid things, and he caught one on the chin.
That, by the way, I was at that fight. It's the biggest shock I've ever had at a sporting event. Yeah. Not that he lost, because a lot of the fighters picked
I would have just liked
fight. Let it run.
I would have just liked to see. I would have liked to see.
Yes.
Silva just fight that fight again, focused, and
they
not,
fought again.
And not screwing around. No, I know that, but I'm saying on that one, yeah. I wish.
Yeah, but if you
it
watch,
it seemed
though,
like
Sully,
where it was going at the beginning, it wasn't going to be that much of a problem.
If you watch his fights. He always does that. He always messes around. He always tries to play like, oh, you didn't hurt me.
Anderson, yes, he does.
Oh, yes.
That's part of his thing.
But Chris, he's a big head game guy.
All right, listen, I'm feeling confident.
Oh, go ahead, let's do this.
Maybe I'm going to put 20 on the table.
All right, hold on.
That Weidman goes down before the goofing around starts.
Hold on. I'm putting.
Let's just do a dollar. Let's just do a buck. Let's do a buck.
All right,
let's just do a buck.
I bet a buck.
We'll keep it friendly.
A buck that he knocked him down.
All right, I'll loan you a buck, man.
I want to
loan me a buck because I only got 20.
Can we scroll? Because this show isn't so long.
I know. I think this is a pretty... It's only... it goes to the second round, but we could scroll through this a little bit.
We could scroll.
And we're going to see if he knocks down... Chris, I'm going to say he doesn't knock him down.
I was very...
I remember seeing Weidman on the floor
is
and Anderson helping
Metro
him out.
He might have went down. Let me see.
Okay. Might be... All right, so now they're circling each other. Wow.
But that is what Anderson would do. He would taunt you, and he gets in your head, but he couldn't get into Chris's head.
Yeah, oh, no, even on the scale, like he was saying, Chris is like, you know, you're not going to do to me what you do to everybody else. Anderson, like, and when you said, like, between rounds when he was, or at the end of the round when he was saying, you know, let's make it a good fight, he's hugging him, and the fucking lights just went off.
Oh, no, she hit it with her back.
Nice.
She's trying to set a vibe.
Right,
oh, please.
Right, so Chris just took him down easily with a double. Let's see what happens. Look at him fighting those ankles. He's so smart, Chris Weidman. I feel like I know this guy. And now, oh, right hand by Weidman. Sully, I felt that from here.
And I think that
I fucking felt that.
Anderson knew early on that he was going to have a long fight if he didn't somehow get
so
in
right
Weidman's
now, Chris
head.
Weidman's on totally, he's on top.
Yeah.
So we're going to see when they get back to the feet if he knocks him down. Because you know what happens, Sully? When you watch so many fights, sometimes they blend into each other. You're so used to seeing. I don't blame you. You're so used to seeing. He still thinks it's going to happen. But you're so used to seeing, you know, Anderson Silva knocking people down that somehow we put it in our head that he knocked him down.
I also think that Weidman watched that Chael Sonnen.
He's still watching. He's like, watch the fight. It's a great fight.
No. I just want to see in this moment because I specifically remember, and I watched it a couple of times. I remember there's a moment where Weidman was looking a little embarrassed.
Yeah?
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
I remember Silva telling him,
with the Luke Rockhold fight, which wasn't his best fight.
Oh,
I'm telling you, Sully. This might have been after a crazy rock and roll night.
This is the first one, though, right?
This is the first one.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
The second one didn't go great either.
Yeah, but Weidman was really dominating.
Now look, ready? He's on top. Let's see where this goes here.
But you were going to say, Jim, and you're right. Like the book on Anderson started to be written through the
after
Chael
Sonnen's fight, which was Chael was within a couple of minutes of winning.
Chael
that he
realistically
destroyed him for five rounds.
But Weidman's just not a good matchup for Anderson.
No, it's not. He's not.
You know what I mean?
He's not.
So now look, he's on top, still in an open guard. And to Anderson Silva's credit, he's very calm on his back.
Yeah, and he has
a beast on top of him. But watch here. Oh, he sits backwards for a leg lock. He's looking for a leg.
Anderson is not in good. No, he's okay there, but he's not in great shape.
I believe he's going to get out of this.
But he does stay calm, though.
Yeah, he does stay calm. He's a black belt. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt.
Very calm. He's looking
for a heel, right?
Very nice heel hook that Anderson Silva got.
Anderson.
I believe he gets out.
He does
know
how to get out of these. Yeah.
Maybe this is what.
That's. All right, now they're back up. We're back up, and Sully's getting closer to the.
I'm getting closer to the truth.
Now he feels
that's what's happening.
No, it's getting.
But Anderson,
put back the 20 on the table.
Anderson has got.
Let's see if he knocks him down.
He's trying to keep. I think he's trying to keep Weidman punching and angry
because
he knows on the ground this is a problem.
Now standing back up, look at this. Weidman's in there in his face. He has him against the cage, and Anderson's going to go. Come on, try to hurt me. Sorry. I watched this fight too a little bit.
Yeah.
He goes back up against the cage. Oh, he punched him on the fucking chin again.
Yeah, which was a mistake by Anderson.
You know?
Because he's trying to get into Weidman's head and he's not in Weidman's head.
Right. Yeah. That is an effective tool too,
though, because if you make a guy so mad that he wants to fucking knock your teeth out, it does make guys do dumb shit.
Well, he did it before and he did it after.
So far, there's a minute 30 left. And Anderson didn't land anything of any...
That's fascinating. The hands are down. I've seen other fighters do that. Yeah, he threw a kick
Sully's,
at him.
Look at that, Sully.
Boom.
All right, now he's putting his head out a little
his
bit.
Hands
oh,
are
he caught him with another right hand. He's beating him standing up, though. He's beating him standing up. I don't know. What am I saying? Tell me something different.
He kicked a few kicks. Yeah.
He kicked one. So far, he got two leg kicks on Weidman.
And with Anderson, good jab, yeah.
Weidman punched him back. Weidman jabbed him back. Weidman jabbed him back.
Man, watching this again, it's like Anderson just didn't respect that power. No.
I don't think he respected the speed. Like, I don't think he'd land a punch.
Right. Wait,
I think
hold on. You know Sully being so quiet waiting for the knockdown? That's not going to come, motherfucker! I'm sorry, son. Hey, wait. Go. Hey, put those ninja stars down. I see the ninja coming up behind me. It's
all right.
35 seconds.
Yeah. But this is what... This is
he
what
kicks the leg.
It looks like at one point Anderson, you just hit him at will, right. And then you're like, "All right, Chris doesn't want to stand with him."
So now he hit to the body. Now he's trying to get in his head.
He's trying to get
Weidman's
his head.
Focused.
Well, right and theoretically, Weidman wouldn't want to stand with him. But
Silva would have just really like been serious and focused on.
I'm waiting for that fucking knockdown, Sully.
I think he
I'm looking at
him.
Your dollar.
Hold on, you still got round two. This is only in round one. There's 9 seconds, Matt. Don't get cocky. Let's see.
All right, so far, round one. Was I'm gonna say total Chris Weidman?
That's
total.
A Weidman win.
Although so now, it was a Weidman round, but
Weidman starts kissing him. And now listen,
but Silva at the end of that round, you look at. I remember watching this fight and going, "Hey, look, Anderson can kind of hit somebody at will. It looks like Anderson."
You know what I don't like?
What?
That's what I don't like, though. No offense to Anderson.
What?
Well, look what he just did right there. When he's right in Chris's face, he's kissing him. He's hugging him. He goes back. You see what he did? He puts his hands up. Ah, let's keep it up. Let's have it on the show.
Right.
Like, you know, when he got his crew back around him, that shows a lot to me.
Yeah.
You know? But hold on.
But here's the thing. Pause just for 1 second.
Could you do me a favor and give me Sully's dollar now?
Not yet, no.
Take the dog.
Wait, what are you doing?
Jim has to pause it for a
second. I'm sorry.
Because
I think that what's happened is when you watch, I remember watching this, because Anderson had this ability. He fucks around, he ducks, his hands are down, and then he starts hitting you at will. And he's that fast, and he starts kicking
See,
you.
That was my point. I think if he was just fighting and focused, he's so good, and he's so technical, and he's such a great striker.
He's also 40, though.
I really think he could have just picked him apart. I think it would have been a whole different fight. But because he's just started getting like, he didn't have any respect for him. He didn't think that he had any power.
Rewind that corner caught. Work, please, again, quick. I want to hear Ray Longo.
What did Ray Longo say?
What does Ray Longo say to him? No, you got to rewind it a little bit more, please. Did you hear that?
Punch a hole in his fucking chest.
That big Italian guy might look like an extra from Sopranos, but he knows what the fuck he's talking about.
And Chris, I didn't remember
because,
that Donahue was there.
Because of the head movement.
And Chris is better.
That's why he told him to aim for the chest. Yes.
Chris is, I think, better with his hands than people think because he's a wrestler, but he's actually better with his hands.
Look at this.
A lot of fighters pick Chris to win this fight.
I love this, though, because now Anderson's begging him to stand up.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. I mean, that's just gamesmanship on Anderson's part.
Anderson
Chris is standing the whole time.
Anderson does not want to go to the ground. I don't blame Anderson.
The mental is a big part of it.
Yes.
So now, let's listen.
And I think Anderson, after that round, realized he's going to have a major problem on the ground. Let's taunt him and keep him standing and get him to make a mistake. Get in his head.
And again, this is not something out of the ordinary.
Sure.
This is every one of Silva's fights.
Anderson would jump around. He dances around the
Son
ring.
Son of a bitch. He's not going to go down there.
I don't know about that.
He realizes it right now.
I remember him just telling him, egging him on. I thought it was after he had knocked him down and helped him up and said, "Come on, like put on a show."
Yeah, no, but he's playing with them.
It's normal. It's normal.
The fights blend together.
They really do.
Now look, there's Anderson's got his hands down, and Chris is just kind of moving forward. And instead of it getting in his head, he's just waiting for a moment where he's going to be able to land. He's not throwing wild punches.
No, he never bit.
Yeah. No, he did not. Hell. He did not. Even if he was annoyed,
look,
he didn't really
notice,
show it.
4 minutes in round two.
He comes back with the right hand, I believe, after he does the right, and he stays in his face. And he doesn't stop with one or two punches.
Yeah.
He just stays on him.
Anderson's having a little bit of luck with his legs, with kicking. Boom.
There you go.
That's it.
Well, listen, I know you and Jimmy are old friends. We're new friends. Acquaintances. Let's take it day by day. Take your dollar back. You're a guest.
Nah, I don't care.
You're a guest
You
here.
Earned that dollar.
You did
You're
earn
the
dollar.
Expert.
Give
me that fucking
dollar
back.
Keep that dollar.
Wait, didn't we start with 20? No. Sully! Stop.
That
Sully.
Fight annoys me.
That fight
me. So bad.
Sully, can I tell you something?
I want to see that fight happen when Anderson was not doing that.
I
want to see that fight
Sully. I want to be 6'8". We all can't get what we want. But listen to the thing. Why I'm so fucking biased too is, listen, Chris he's one of my fighters, Chris. You don't know that shit. I don't expect you to.
Yeah.
But that's my boy
there. Yeah, Matt was in his corner.
That's why I wasn't in the corner for this
one.
Oh,
you
were
in the corner.
The leg break.
The second one you were for the leg break.
But that's my guy. I know him inside and out. Styles make fights. I'm sorry that he ruined your fucking your favorite fight. There's nothing worse than a bad winner. I'm
but that's
kidding.
Not that. But
no,
Chris
not
has
Chris.
A,
I meant me.
No, no. Chris says though, and it's fair that the second fight was like, hey, that just sucks. But he did beat Silva twice, who was unbeatable. And he never got the credit for it. I guess because he didn't.
It's because of that. It's because of the way it happened.
Yeah. So right. Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Unbiased.
Unbiased.
Okay. So, and I'm not defending Silver in any way or whatever.
You're
going to
ask if he was 20 years old, what would happen?
It's the same concept as like if me and you play a game of pool, right?
Yes.
And you scratch on the eight ball. Did I beat you or did you lose?
That's not the same thing at all.
Well, I'm thinking.
You know why though?
Did he beat him? Or did Anderson lose?
No, he beat him. You know what? Well, let's think about it.
I mean, he broke his leg in half.
No, that's the second fight you're talking
that's
about.
That's what I'm talking about.
Well, the second fight, Weidman not...
I'm just asking you what you consider... As a fighter, do you consider it like I beat you?
Oh, no, 100% because he did a check on that leg.
Right.
He didn't accidentally kick his elbow and break his own leg. He kicked him. Weidman just... You could watch what I'm
checked,
doing.
Yeah, he checked he it. Turned checked
it,
the kick.
He blocked it with the knee. It's a destruction, man. So the harder you kick with that, the worse you ought to wear.
Right.
So it was, you know, what?
No, I'm sorry.
What did you write?
Chris, the producer?
Chris gets very distracted. What did you write?
I was saying Sully's going to have to go in a few minutes, and then we'll come back and do picks. But
I'm good.
Okay.
They gave us
but,
the time.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same thing, because in that same fight, in the second fight, Chris knocked him down with a right hand. People don't even talk about that.
Yeah.
When he went to give him a tie clinch, Chris knocked him down with a right and followed him down and spent the whole first round on him.
Yeah, the second fight was not going Anderson's way to begin. I'm the same way. I'm a huge Anderson Silva fan.
I love Anderson too, but that first fight even, I think Anderson had success kicking and looked good keeping him awake. But as soon as Weidman got his hands on him, he was totally dominating.
You know who became my favorite fighter recently?
Don't make me blush. I'm retired now. Sully, stop it.
You couldn't guess. I bet you couldn't guess.
Let me guess.
Who's your favorite fighter recently?
Cody Garbrandt.
Kevin Lee.
Nope.
Francis Ngannou.
Dean Thomas.
Oh, I know who it is. Nope. It's Cyborg.
No, wait.
Amanda Nunes.
Is it some? It's a current person.
Male or female?
Female.
Female fighter. Okay, Rosie, I'm not Muniz.
I got to tell you, she won me over.
Yeah,
but she wasn't my favorite.
She was supposed to be on
today. Jędrzejczyk.
Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Yes.
We love her.
We do too. Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, yeah.
Okay,
second, it's funny, I interviewed Rose.
I loved her so much. Yeah. I still do. I think she's amazing.
She's nice, sweet
amazing,
girl.
Amazing, amazing. But I got to tell you, after the second time Rose beat her, I go, oh my God, this girl's the real deal.
She is. And they praised her.
She's awesome. And those fights were killer.
Rose praised her yesterday. Her and Pat were praising Joanna yesterday, even though they beat her the second time. But after that first loss where she tapped because of strikes, the second fight she comes back and Rose said she was better and she was ferocious for 5 rounds. Rose won. But she said she was more impressed with her
Which
in the second fight.
Which goes to show you how good of a fighter Rose is, because Joanna's no joke either. No. You know, she's a monster. She's amazing.
Who is she fighting now, Chris?
I love
Tisha Torres.
I like her too. Yeah,
I love the girl. I mean, I really do. The girls are some of my favorites to watch because they've stepped it up so much over the years. You have to admit.
Oh, 100%.
You know, even Dana in the early days, like a woman will never be
never
in the
UFC. Yeah, well,
and now he's like, yeah, okay.
Big thanks
now
to Ronda.
The guy's
Ronda
better
Rousey.
Step it up.
Ronda Rousey needs a big applause for that.
Ronda,
I mean, she's the one.
Talking about Ronda Rousey.
Oh, she'll beat the shit out of people.
Do you like her?
Yeah.
You like Ronda?
She'll beat me up.
Yeah, you like it.
You
okay
say
with that. I've had Ronda put me in an armbar. It's nice.
Yes.
It's nice.
I want a leg lock.
Yeah.
Very sturdy woman.
Yeah.
Did you ever meet her husband, Travis?
No. That's a good point. No. Yeah, Travis is a problem.
He's also
sturdy. You better have a fucking ninja clan with you.
I don't want to meet him because I don't like him. I like her.
Yeah, I like him and her. They're a good couple.
You know,
but she's a badass. I love Ronda. I'm a big fan of submissions and jiu-jitsu and being a judoka.
She was
what
fun
she was.
To watch.
She had beautiful
arm
locks.
She was really
locks.
Fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of hoping she didn't go away as quick as she did, but, you know.
Well, go watch the WWE.
She's there.
She's in there.
Oh, she's in there.
Yeah, she's doing great.
That's awesome.
And that's more what she wants. Like, you know, after these losses, she couldn't handle it, and she wound up going to WWE, and she's doing well there. Like, the fans actually, they weren't sure about it. They were like, eh. But then she kind of they saw what she could do in the rain. They're like, "Fuck, she's great!"
Oh my God! And then the other fight there on the same card that the Joanna fight was on, the dude from Boston there, Borelli. What the fuck? I'm drawing a blank.
Sean? Is it Sean? I think I know who you mean.
It was an amazing fight.
Yeah,
the kid was an animal. He lost.
Oh, Sean O'Malley.
O'Malley.
No. At the Garden Carter Center.
Sorry,
in Brooklyn. At the.
It was the same. It was the same night that Joanna and when he Rose broke his foot a second time.
Oh, that's in Brooklyn. At the Kyle Bochniak Zabit fight.
Magomed Sharipov. Zabit Magomed Sharipov.
Bochniak. I knew it began with a B.
Yeah, Zabit won a decision. Was that what happened?
Yeah, he won a decision, but it went the distance. It was a good fight. Was coming back in that third round.
That's right. That was a good fight. Yeah,
great fight.
And that Zabit is a really, really good fighter. So yeah, that was a great fight. Yeah.
Wait, did they make him versus Yair Rodriguez? Is that
not official? But that's Zabit against Rodriguez.
Oh, Yair, that's a great fight. He called him out, right?
Yeah, which is that's an unbelievable fight.
I went to Boston once in a while. I saw Conor fight Dennis Seaver in Boston. I was doing a gig the night before, and it was like Monday was off, so they did a Sunday night UFC event. And I don't remember. Wait, was that Dennis? I think it was Dennis Seaver. Yeah, that was Conor fought in Boston.
In Boston, yeah, that was Dennis Seaver fight.
I don't remember who else was on that card, but it was a good card. Do you go to any of the fights or no?
I've been to a couple.
They're fun live, man.
Yeah.
There's something about watching guys. I've never been to a boxing match. No, I actually went to one. But there's something about watching people about to walk into a cage and fight. Like, it is the energy. Although the best energy I've ever seen in a fight, and I think it was the co-main for the first or the second Weidman fight was Ronda fighting some. Wasn't she the co-main in one of those fights? Am I crazy?
Jimmy, you know how many fights I've fucking been to and been in? I used to get hit. Don't ask me these questions.
Was Ronda against somebody the co-main in Weidman against Anderson Silva? I believe it was against Misha.
Yes, you're right, because I remember seeing
watching
that.
Her. Misha
Tate, I liked her too.
Watching Ronda walk out, Ronda's walk out at that time, it's the most energy I've ever seen around an event to happen.
Really? In an event?
Ronda walking
Mine
out.
Was Tyson.
I never saw him fight.
Tyson. I've seen him fight Lennox in Tennessee. Was it Tennessee, I think? And man, I got to tell you, I've never felt anything like that. When those lights went down and he walked in, everyone in the crowd wanted to fight each other. It was just people got angry really quick, and I remember the tension and the energy that was in the air was insane.
It was, right? Because it was Mike, and you know he's fighting Lennox beat him in that fight.
Yeah, it was towards the end when he was just not doing so well anymore, but there was still just an energy, like people just got bloodthirsty when he came out. It was just something about
it's amazing him. About his whole character of who he is, that even though he lost to Lennox and he lost to these other guys, nobody really, I mean, maybe it's different over in fucking Britain or whatever, but nobody really talks about Lennox. And Mike Tyson is bigger than that. He's got like a cartoon. He's got a,
I know. So
I love that fucking thing, by the way. Have you seen Mike Tyson?
Of course I have.
Did you? Or fucking around.
I love Mike. Of course I do.
It's a good show.
Of course it is.
But I mean, he's got so much going on still. He's in movies because he's just that. He's got that it factor.
There's something about Mike Tyson. And the first time I ever met him was I was hosting the Porn Awards in 2004, January of 2004.
Of course you were.
And I'm in the Evil Angel booth, and 50 Cent and Mike Tyson were on the floor of the AVN Expo. Like, and it was in 2004. I mean, it was the Venetian. It was a fucking mob Saturday afternoon. And Mike Tyson walking through the crowd I've never seen people move that way to be next to something. Like, there was the energy this guy brought with him and the way grown men act around a heavyweight champion. It was crazy. And he wasn't even champion by then. He was just Mike Tyson.
Wow.
I'd love to get him on this show.
Well, I think he's a big fight.
He was at that.
You should, man. He's funny.
He was at that Anderson fight. And I saw him right after that. And he was stunned that Anderson had dropped his hands like that and lost.
Well, don't be, because he does it in every fucking fight.
But just to see a guy do that, usually that's like a bully schoolyard thing. You don't see a guy get his ass kicked doing that.
I think me, what was the most disappointing is, you know, he had done so amazing up to that point, and he was so good at what he did. You know, in all those years that you study the art and train and put in all that time and effort, to go out that way to me was just a disappointment. Like, you know, just you complete out, you your mean? Legacy. Well, I mean, just the goofing off and stuff like that. Like, you should know better. I mean, the one thing I would assume that you agree with is that the martial arts teaches you discipline and respect. Yes. You know what I mean? It's not about going in there and thinking that you're so badass that you're going to start wiggling your arms around like spaghetti. Yeah,
but
especially on a good fighter.
And, yeah, exactly. You're in there with
it was 10-0 at that time.
Now, right. If he, when he fought Forrest Griffin, he put his hands down. Forrest went to tee off on him.
Another one.
He
of my
dodged
favorites.
3 to 4 punches and came back and knocked him out.
And Forrest ran
out
of the
So if he did that to Weidman, he's a hero. He's not a goof off.
But he also, but
you know, you listen. You, it's part of who he was. He would make guys feel like they do not belong in there with him, and it's part of his strategy. It's not so much I feel him being a goofball, even though it looks like it.
Yeah,
because there's so many fights you could point to and be like, why is he? Oh fuck, he just laid this dude out.
Yeah, because he's doing all this shit, and then he's getting and he in comes and back with jab. A
fucking right hand to your chin,
and then he throws kicks, and when he's throwing those kicks at Wyman, like those fucking now you can only yes. there's an attitude to
I
them.
I know,
and that's also
I wanted
part
to
of
see
it.
That's what I'm yeah. talking about. I wanted to see that through the whole fight.
Well, Sully, that focus. Ship has sailed. So let's go on.
Yeah,
to
moving on. That was like 104 years ago. Yeah.
But by the time Anderson had that fight, he had also barely beaten Chael Sonnen. Round five, he winds up triangle choking Chael, and just because Chael made a stupid mistake. Yeah. But if Chael beat him four rounds, and then they fought again, and Chael won the first round, he kept Anderson on the ground, and then he does a spinning back fist, and he falls, and Anderson drives a knee into his body.
Well, yeah. One mistake in there. You zig when you should have zigged.
Yeah, but he had a couple of fights before Weidman where you're like, there's a way to beat Anderson now.
Yeah.
And it's on the ground, and there's a way to beat him, even though he won
both
of those fights.
And the age doesn't help his case. You know what I'm saying? He's fucking 40.
As much as he lost both Weidman fights in a crazy way, he won both Chael fights in a crazy way, too. So he had two wins there.
You can say he won your heart.
Won more than my heart. Should have seen the tent in my pants at that skill. But he was...
Hey, man, you know what they say. All good things come to an end, you know?
They do,
nothing
yeah.
lasts forever, and it's as simple as that. And
undefeated fighters lose.
The next young, stronger, faster guy comes up, and that's it.
And they're all better now because people are training MMA since they're fucking... 12 years old and 10, they're not just trading judo or karate. You know, Leon Machida is a karate guy.
Right.
Or you get, you know, Wonder Boy is more of a karate guy, but you get guys training in everything since they're 10 years old. These fucking 19 year olds are deadly, man.
Well, you just said Zabit. I mean, Zabit's got an unbelievable skill set. Yeah.
Him against Rodriguez will be a great fight, but I think he beats Yair Rodriguez if he puts him on the ground because Frankie Edgar showed you how to beat Yair Rodriguez.
No official announcement from the UFC yet, but Dana apparently was quoted by the LA Times saying that that's on for 226. So
what, Zabit versus?
Zabit versus Yair Rodriguez. So not official from the UFC.
What event?
226, July 7th.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to be there.
Matt's being inducted at the UFC.
Don't make me
congratulations,
blush.
Man.
Don't make... Oh, that's thank awesome. You. Stop it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sully.
Oh, hold on. What's that, Chris?
227. I apologize.
227. So
that'd be in LA.
But LA. Not the Vegas one.
Maybe I'll be there
so
for that.
I'm excited to see it live.
That doesn't matter. Sorry. You got $2. Enjoy your winnings.
You. I'm glad I won that bet.
Enjoy your windfall. Get $2. We got to promote Sully's album too.
He's still got the dollar bills.
I know because he doesn't want to take the money, but he will. What is the name of your record? I keep forgetting. When Legends Rise, it's your first studio album in 4 years. When you sit for 4 years, are you like, okay, not that you're not doing anything, but are you like, we're never going to make another record? Or are you bouncing songs back and forth?
What seems to be 4 years for the fans is a blink of an eye for me.
Right.
Because, you know, the record's finished in 2014. We tore on it for 2 years. So now we're in 2016. I put out a solo record in 2016 or 17. I toured for that for a year. And then I spent the last year writing and recording this record. So it goes by. Because like
you're doing shit in different, you're doing different projects and you're touring.
People are like, why didn't you put out a record for 4 years? I'm like, it's really not 4 years because we're touring on it for at least 2 years.
Right.
So
that's the part.
You have to write, you know.
You got to write. That's the part about being a singer, right? Because when I do a special, I can't tour. I have to tour on with new material. So I tour with a special before it comes out, and then it comes out, and then I got to wait a little bit and then go back out. But you guys put out an album, fucking just take off with it.
Yeah, and you got to write material. You got to stay fresh. I mean, you know, even like when you guys do fights, I'm assuming that, you know, okay, we're going to give you a fight in October. And you train for what, 6 months? Or
well, if you got a fight, usually a 2 month, 2.5 month camp.
Right, but you know what you got to do. You focus, you train or whatever. With us, it's different because they may say like, okay, the tour's over, the record's done. It's time to write a new record. I don't know if that's going to take us 3 months or if it's going to take us 2 years to write it because it doesn't exist.
And you don't rush it, right? You can't rush it.
You know what I mean? The information's not there yet. You have to create it.
Yeah,
from
it's
nothing.
Wild. You got like a deadline for that? Like you have like, all right, you're going
to... Well, you try to put yourself on a deadline because you need to push yourself to work, you know? But it's again, it's one of those things that the information... isn't there yet.
What helps you with the creative stuff? Not to be weird, but is it kind of like life? Yeah. Like there's no hiking in the mountains or taking a walk on a beach or...
It's part of it.
Really?
Yeah, it's part of it.
To help motivate
because
you to write
something? Life, you know what I mean? I always write about things that have affected me somehow on an emotional level, good or bad. most of the time that was bad.
Yeah, usually it doesn't. You don't create out of great shit.
I could actually go back and look at all the records that we've written, and I could probably cross off each song and rename it with a girl's name.
Oh, really?
Moon Baby is Aaron. Keep Away is Lisa.
Oh, that's that great, bitch. Well, you're great music. You got to thank all these fucking psychopath exes of yours.
It's true.
That is the beautiful thing is you take all these shitty things that happen, and it's like the one saving grace is, all right, I can use it
and to make something good,
make
out
a song or a joke or whatever the fuck it is.
With life in general. Yeah. I used to get fucked with as a kid, bullied.
That's right.
I developed this thought, learned Kimuras, and I fucked some people up, Jimmy.
That's right.
It has nothing to do with this story.
But no, it does. Because most fighters,
it
most fighters
you
come
it
from the hard
bad
times.
Into something good, and now you're being inducted.
Give me some Sully.
You know what I'm saying? Yes.
That, imagine I break his hand, he's out of his
mind. Imagine he broke you yours, how humiliating that would be.
Hey, you should have the fucking bully hand you the trophy.
I should, that cocksucker. He's a big part of it.
And then smack him in the mouth and again. On his way. That's again.
That is what makes fight. I never met, most fighters you meet have gotten beaten up or picked on, whether it's with brothers or something. Very rarely do you see a kid that comes from a lot of money who had a great upbringing and went to a great, it happens, but it's not.
Right. Well, Weidman talked about that, right? His older brothers or whatever, like growing up.
We
beat him up, right?
That. Yeah. I don't want to comment on the guy's family. Christopher Dusa has no. He's
well, he but that is you know, attack. He likes to. He likes to give.
Come on, we don't have to get into it, but I'm just saying. But that's that is.
No,
the
it's true. It's true. Anyway,
we have to do our picks. What? We have to wrap the episode up. So if you want to stay with us, we're just doing our picks. We do them every week. We have the pay per view card. It's in Rio.
Matt, it'll be a good one, bro.
May 12th, this Saturday. I will be away.
You have my
I'll be
sheet,
in Iowa City.
Chris, you have my sheet.
Do I have your sheet? Well, we'll do them together. We can share.
No, you know
sheet.
What? I have my sheet.
There you go.
My bad. I'm blaming Chris the producer. Let's just bang this out, man, because I want to take a picture with Sully.
Yes. All right. The first fight on the card is Vitor Belfort, his retirement fight against Lyoto Machida. Oh. Yeah, we just interviewed Vitor before you came
you
in.
You know both those guys.
I gotta take a snapshot of this. Schedule.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going. I almost feel like a dick going with Lyoto Machida though, because I'm a fucking. I just.
You just talked to Vitor.
Yeah, I thought we had a great. I thought that was a fun.
That's very fun. Talk
that's what Vitor is thinking. Yeah. I thought I had fun with Matt.
Yeah, now he's gonna hate me. But I'm gonna go with Lyoto Machida. I'm gonna go with. I'm gonna go with a third. Man. He's been having a tough time lately, Lyoto.
Yeah. I'm going with Vitor, second round TKO.
All right.
I'm going with Lyoto, second round TKO. How about that? I'll match that. Sully, just for fun, shits and giggles, who are you picking?
Where is it? Where am
right
we
here.
Looking
first,
here?
That's the first fight of the night. Well, the first, I mean, the prelims and the fight, that's the main card, starts at 10 o'clock from Rio.
I don't know, man. This is a tough one.
Vitor is retiring, so the fight has that weight for him.
I'm gonna go with Vitor too.
Okay.
What round and how?
I think it's gonna go a little longer, maybe. I think maybe the third
decision or
it's so hard because Lyoto's so good too. I don't know.
He is so good.
I can't predict this one.
Gotta watch his fight with Weidman.
No, I'm gonna say it goes the distance. It's going to decision.
Okay, Vitor by decision.
I actually have Vitor by decision as well.
Okay.
I think.
All right, good. All right, gang.
John Lineker against Brian Kelleher.
Now, Brian Kelleher just beat Henan Barão, he called for this fight.
He did.
But I think John Lineker is a tall order, and I feel John Lineker by,
I'm going to say by decision.
You think by decision?
Lineker by decision.
I'm going to say third round KO.
All right.
Even though he's a Strong Island boy, it is Brian Kelleher. Mm-hmm. I feel a little almost bad rooting against him.
I don't like, you know what? I don't like to pick against Long Island. Let me correct myself.
All right.
Kelleher. Decision.
I'm going Lineker decision. I'm changing my shit too.
I actually have Lineker by decision as well.
The two you can lose. Lineker is number six. Kind of hard to pick against, but I don't pick against Long Island because I'm not a traitor. Okay.
Really quick with Mackenzie Dern.
Well, hold on. We got to see what Sully wants to pick.
Oh,
no, you guys go. No, you guys are the experts here.
I knew some of these fighters as well as you.
Okay, let's see. Now, Mackenzie Dern against Amanda Cooper.
Can you tell me about Amanda Cooper's last fight?
Yes, I will. I was talking to Jim before the show. Amanda Cooper is coming off the dominant decision win over Angela Magana. I don't know if it was a decision or if they stopped it at some point, but she got on top of Angela Magana and just beat her up for three rounds.
Wow.
But Mackenzie Dern had a split decision win, a controversial win over, because I remember thinking that Ashley Yoder won that fight. I thought Ashley Yoder won because I didn't think Dern won the fight when they gave it to her. But I'm still going to take Ashley Dern by submission. I'll give her a second round submission.
Yeah, I'm gonna give her.
Mackenzie Dern, right?
Yep.
I'm gonna give her a first round submission for Mackenzie Dern. Well, because I liked up the ante a little bit, Jimmy. I'm a leader, not a follower.
I have third round submission for Mackenzie because Amanda's tough, but I think she'll get the submission eventually.
Okay,
he's making me change my thing. You got it. All right. Jacare
against Kelvin Gastelum.
Which this is such a great fight, man. Wow. This is so
two against the fact that Gastelum's number five in the middleweight division is amazing too. Fighting bigger guys.
Oh yeah.
But Jacare looked. What was his last fight against Brunson?
Yeah. Oh, this is the knockout.
I'm gonna take Jacare by a second round submission again because I think he's just too big.
All right.
I think he's too strong and he's too dangerous on the ground.
Well, and if he's not, Kelvin's putting himself into title contention for sure.
He is, yeah, but I also think Jacare showed he can knock out Kelvin. I mean, yeah. Brunson is purely a fucking... I mean, he wrestles, but he's a puncher, and you know, he got
now,
knocked out in the first round.
I normally never... Like, not never, but I'm such a jiu-jitsu guy at
heart.
Yes,
you are.
Even though Jimmy likes to point out about me knocking out Frank Trigg and winning the title... With my right hand.
I do mention that
but
too
we're not
going
to bring this up. Don't embarrass me in front of Sully.
Come on, wait, Sully.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm going to say that Jacare, even though I, there's nothing I love more than watching him on the floor. I think that he is just.
Oh, no.
What's the matter?
Go ahead.
I'm just saying that I think he's going to stay a little bit too long on his feet with Kelvin because he's feeling his fucking Brazilian oats, you know, from knocking. You know, he's got done knocking out
Derek Brunson. With the left, yeah.
Made quick work.
Quick
before work. You know it, he's in the back room eating his acai. They're not up in here with Kelvin Gastelum.
So you think Gastelum by a knockout, TKO?
He was at the Laugh Factory laughing at my shit.
That's important.
No, that's right.
But it has nothing to do with this pick.
Absolutely not. Totally unbiased.
I'm taking Kelvin Gastelum by KO in the first round. TKO,
first round KO. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll be happy to win that one too.
Okay, listen.
I'm with you on that, Matt. I think he can use his anti-jiu-jitsu, his wrestling, and his hands look... Terrific. I got second round knockout for Kelvin.
Awesome. You do that. And then when fucking, and I like Gastelum a lot, but when Jacare puts a foot on him and knocks him up against the cage and then fucking grabs him and throws him down in the second round, you all know that you didn't know what you're talking about. All right.
Fourth round for this title fight. Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington. The champ keeps the belt in a fourth round fucking stoppage.
All right.
How do you like that shit?
I agree, but I don't think it's going to be in the fourth round. Amanda wins.
It makes it more fun when you disagree.
Third round.
I'll bet you this fucking $2.
How many times has Raquel gone five?
None.
Yeah, none. I would
not
say
in the UFC.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm saying it like I know it.
Amanda,
no, I think you're right.
Let me stand corrected. Amanda by decision. I think that Raquel is tough, and she's going to hang in there, but I think she's going to get a little tired in the fourth and fifth because she's never gone the decision.
Yeah, Raquel's never gone to five.
Okay, so I'm
going to
say Amanda by decision. Or do I want to say Amanda by knockout in the fifth? Doesn't matter.
I said the fourth. Stop trying to, you know.
I'm going
to
price is right you.
I'm taking Amanda third round submission. And that she's going to.
Okay, I say Amanda decision.
Okay.
This was fun. Tell you, man, I really enjoyed seeing you again. I was very happy when I found you.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure, man.
And new friends.
When legends rise.
He's like, take it a step at a time.
Right? When legends rise. Are you guys performing around here anytime soon?
We're actually here to do the iHeart Radio show tonight, but we're the world tour kicks off mid-July with Shinedown.
Oh, okay, great.
Yeah.
I would like to come and see you. So
we're doing some one-off, some festivals. Rock on the Range is coming up on the 20th? 20th. 19th, 20th, something like that.
I will bug
There's
you
a few
for tickets.
Festivals. Yeah, whenever you want, man.
And I guess I'm going to be in Milwaukee Friday at the Pabst Theater. Saturday, I'll be in Iowa City. And then, and that's that. So,
I will be in Sarah BJJ, Puerto Rico, in Mayo Wez. I think like the 18th or 19th. I'll get back to you next week on that, people.
Okay, good.
And I'll let you know how you can attend. I'm doing a fundraiser for an animal shelter over there in my buddy's town.
Okay.
It's not, what do you think? I'm going over there to take money from my Puerto Rican students?
No, you're a nice
man. I'm giving back to the people.
That's what you do.
Okay. All right, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Sully.
Sully.
Pleasure seeing you,
man. Thanks.